A couple of things, Jim. That was good, huh? That was a sweet thing, and it's cool when people get involved. So a couple of things I realized from that video, number one is, man, I just love the people of this church and for serving and being part of it, and just the vision of it. And one of the things I talked to Jim about in the beginning was saying, I don't want big vision, I want long vision. I want sustainable vision. And how can we impact a community for long periods of time? The other thing I realized is this, I squeak a lot, my voice. I had a little laugh, a squeak. And but here's the deal. It's always and when you always going through these things. As we're in a series, I want to give you guys an illustration because I was thinking about this. We're doing this whole series on miracles, and before we stand up and pray, I just want us to do one thing here. And I've been talking about how miracles in our life are literally every miracle points towards something. Every miracle that God does, the object of a miracle, when you look at a sign, it points to something else. You look at a sign for downtown Stillwater or Stillwater here, or you know, going to Minneapolis. That's the thing is not the sign; it's what the sign points to. Is that making sense? So let's do this. If you can turn the lights, house lights down a little bit. So it's going to get dark in here as much as we can. I don't know. So if you think about this for 1 second, if I put this flashlight literally in my face. Is this crazy, right? It's really bright. If I do this, all I'm doing is pointing. This is not the purpose of a flashlight. You don't walk around and say, I can't even see anything, literally. I can't, because it's pointing towards me. But when I do this, it's pointing to something else. Is that making sense? The purpose of God doing miracles and transformation is to God be the glory. Not so I can point the finger in the flashlight myself. The purpose of these things, it is to point to something larger, which is the cross. You can put the lights back up. And I just want us to catch this morning, because everything we do in and around this, when we pray for miracles and we pray for these things, is for God to be the glory. Amen? It's for God to point to something else, not to point to the church. And here's the deal about, and here's my honesty thing. God didn't call us here to build a church. He called us here to build the kingdom, which gives him credit, not us credit. It doesn't give the church credit. We are a tool in the hands of a creator to live out his purposes, to bring people in the kingdom. That is what God has called us to do. We have the privilege to partner with the Lord, but God gets the glory. Amen? And so I just want to point that out. So everybody stand up, and we're going to dive into scripture this morning. I've been sharing the scripture every single week. It's going to be on the screen too. Last week, we talked about Jesus calming the storm and how we all have storms in our life, but as long as you're in a boat with Jesus, and you always have a choice to make. When Jesus is with you in a boat, either you're going to become bitter or you're going to become better. That's your choice. In every situation in life, are you becoming bitter or are you becoming better? And Jesus was in a storm. And so, but every week I've been sharing this verse during this series. So here it is. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory, the church in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I pray for each person in this room. Lord, help us, Lord, to focus our eyes on you, to center our thoughts on you, and Lord, to give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Lord, it's about you, in Jesus' name, amen. You can grab a seat. This whole time talking about miracles, one of my whole purposes is to open up your mind to see that the world and God and the universe, what God is doing, is bigger than you. My wife and I were just listening to someone who says that the universe is always changing. It's just growing. It's expanding. Isn't that crazy? We thought it was done, and it's just expanding. The gases and stuff are just expanding. And it's interesting when you look at this. I'm going to give you a fact. Our planet is speeding through space at an average velocity of 67,000 miles per hour. Isn't that crazy? Like right now, you are going 67,000 miles per hour through space. That's not just faster than a speeding bullet. That's 87 times faster than the speed of sound. That means, think about that. We're not crashing in it. We're just going through the space. Just, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's what's so crazy about it. Now look at the life of Jesus. Jesus performed in Scripture, and this is just what we know of, 34 miracles. And so today we're going to talk about one of these miracles. So if you have your Bibles, open up to John 9. Now, John chapter 9. Now, we've all heard those phrases like break a leg, right? We've all heard phrases, expressions like this. What's another one? Anybody know another expression? What? Yeah. Don't. What did you say?
Don't step on a crack.
Oh, yeah, don't step on a crack. You break your back. What's another one? Anybody else got another one? You know, yeah, we all heard this one, right? And there's other phrases out there like, take it for the team. And there's one out there that's really funny because I hear this, and it's called, here's mud in your eye, right? I don't hear that very often anymore, but and that's a phrase. And usually that's either, it's now used as a positive, but sometimes it's used as a negative. But there's a phrase out there. And so today's scripture we're going to read is that whole idea about putting mud in your eye. And so we're just going to read this scripture. And I think it's really important for us to say how weird the scripture verse is. And so I'm just going to read this. So if you try to follow along, it says, and he went along, Jesus. And it says, as he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. And it just mentions this right away. He says, so from birth, it's literally saying he was born this way. So it wasn't like all of a sudden it happened. He knows no different. Like think about that. If you're born blind, you don't even know what light is. Like you just don't know light. You just know that darkness. You don't know light. And so here's this guy blind at birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that when he was born blind? And so what's happening here, just so you know, you might be thinking, that's a really weird question to ask, isn't it? Like, they're walking along, these disciples are being trained, and literally, they come to Jesus. Instead of offering some help, they said, why is this guy blind? Who sinned? And they're already assuming somebody sinned, either the family sinned, or the boy sinned, or somebody sinned, because God is judging this guy because he's born blind, right? Now, we dealt with this in apologetics, right? This is because the same thing happened. These are the same questions that you might be thinking, those guys are kind of jerks, but isn't the same thing that we kind of ask ourselves, saying, why was this guy born blind? Why is this happening? Why is there evil in the world? Isn't this the same kind of thing? Why is God doing this to me? Why is God, they must have done something wrong. And these are the same questions. What's the reason of the blindness? And so they're asking these questions, and Jesus is literally telling them, saying, why are you asking this? Because they're thinking either the parents did something wrong because he was born blind, or God was judging some point. That goes on to say, Jesus in red letters says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. Now, I'm sure they sinned. They're just saying their sins, the blindness is not a ramification of their sin. Is that making sense? That he's declaring it's not because of the sins that the boy's blind. And I love this. And Jesus said, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Do you understand that when you call yourself a Christian, your life is already on display? You know what? I was a youth pastor, and one of the biggest frustration things I would hear from people, especially students, tell me all the time is saying, don't judge me. I'm like, what? Dude, doesn't this say in scripture, judge a tree by its fruit? And I'm not saying we judge everybody, but no matter what, if you are following the Lord, your life is on display. If you are a leader, your life is on display. If you're leading people, your life is on display. Your life is on display no matter what. But Jesus goes even further and says, he says that God may be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, he must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. while I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, isn't that funny that Jesus then goes on to say, I am the light of the world. This boy was born blind, and so this Pharisee attitude of judging people and saying, this guy did something wrong, Jesus now points out saying, this boy who was born blind can't see, he doesn't know what light is, and what he's saying is, you can be physically blind and you can be spiritually blind, and what he's trying to tell him is this, what's worse? What's worse? For you not to know the light of the Lord or for you not to know the light of day, what's worse? Because one goes to spiritual darkness for eternity and one is just darkness on life on earth. So he's literally saying, I am the light of the world. And then having said this, here's the fun part. He spit on the ground, made some mud with his, you read this right, saliva, and he put it in the man's eye. Then Jesus said, go, and he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, and this word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. He can see. So I'm just going to share a few things. Number one is this. Actually, not a point. I just want to share this. Jesus does not answer the question the way that they're looking for him to answer the question. You might be thinking, well, God never answers all my questions. I'm going to be honest with you. God never answers all my questions either. So I think what God is saying here is saying, it's not that I don't want to answer your questions. It's maybe the questions you're asking are the wrong questions. Will you serve a God who is more concerned about your eternity than your earthly presence? Will you serve a God that you ultimately don't know what's going to happen? And where you, what's more important is the light. And so the questions we're asking is, well, why did this happen? Why did this happen? And why did this happen? And why did this happen? And why did this happen? I'm telling you, I feel like I'm young yet, and sometimes I feel like I'm really old, but what I realize in this, in my spiritual journey, I don't have all the answers. If you come this morning and you want to hear from a preacher of all the answers, wrong church. Because I don't. I have a lot of questions too. I'm challenged by this, guys, and there's stuff, and there's evil in the world. Why did you allow this to happen? But I feel like the questions they were asking was, it's not about the why, it's about the what. What do you want to do in this situation? Because here's the promise. If you're not in a storm now, check the weather, because it's probably coming. It's not that God said bad things will never happen to us. It's saying, it's not about what happens out there, it's about what happens in here. Is that making sense? It's not, like we said last week, it's not about the storm on the outside, it's allowing that storm on the inside. And so I think part of us is saying, maybe the disciples were asking wrong questions. They wanted to know why, but God wanted to reveal what? Jesus, now here's the thing, Jesus had compassion, and the disciples had questions. What if we became Christians who said, Lord, I don't have all the answers, but Lord, I can get compassion for the people. And so I think it's interesting, and I love this. He says, so that the works may be on display. So it wasn't about, Jesus wasn't going to get into an argument with them. What he was saying is, it's not about debating you, it's about displaying. I'm not going to debate this, I'm just going to display it. I'm not going to debate my power, I'm going to display my power. Does that make any sense? God is saying, listen, you may not understand this, but I'm going to show you something. And this is how it worked out. We don't have to understand everything to believe something. So number one is this. Here's the amazing three truths about this story. Number one, Jesus first noticed the blind man. It says in Scripture, as he passed by. Let me read this again. Verse 1, it says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. He saw the man. He noticed the blind man. Remind yourself of the setting. Now, I'm going to just put this picture for you. In this stage in Scripture, three chapters later, they start calling for Jesus to be crucified. So he is now in a territory where people don't like him. The religious leaders are rising up. Just before this story, in chapter 7 and 8, they were having a big giant fight because they're thinking about stoning Jesus. So he's in this territory where a lot of people, even though they're being healed and the works are being displayed, a lot of religious people are at that point of saying there's tension in the air and they don't like Jesus. So it's not like he's moving in a safe area. It says that he's walking by and he notices a blind man. And the disciples are probably saying, dude, we got to get out of here. Don't do something else. Don't create more craziness here. Let's get out of here because we're going to get stoned if we stay here. But instead, Jesus has compassion and he stays and he reaches down in this dirt and all of a sudden he spits in it. So here's what's crazy is, but Jesus noticed the man first. How do I know this? Because the guy was blind. Right? It doesn't say the guy even recognized Jesus. The guy is blind, and it says that he was sitting there as a blind man, and Jesus looked over and noticed him. Even though he couldn't see Jesus, and even though he didn't reach out for Jesus, Jesus reached out for him. You may be thinking, that's crazy. It's not crazy because of Scripture, and it says in Scripture, 1 John 4:19 says, we love because we are first loved. We don't start by loving the Lord. You come to the Lord because you have this realization in your heart that God loves you, and this is what draws you in. God first saw you. God first saw you, and all of a sudden this opens it up for everything else in your life, the blindness. He was not living in the light. So when the guy who claims to be the light of the world shows up, it changes everything. He was now no longer blind, but now he sees not just with his eyes, but with his heart. It's not just about physical blindness. I'm telling you, this is a story about spiritual blindness that the religious people and the Pharisees could not see. I'm not talking about the sinners a lot. Jesus was actually talking to the Pharisees who didn't believe that he's come to save them. Isn't this interesting? Next thing is this. Let me back up for a second. As I read this other day, there was something that came to my head. And I wrote this down last night. It's a paragraph that most of you know. It says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but now I'm found. And I was blind, but now I see. Number two is this. Jesus used natural to perform supernatural. Now, I'm just going to show this. Right here, I went into the garage and I took my wife's potting soil. And so this is what Jesus did. So Jesus reached in. Jesus saw the blind man. And it says that he reached down and he spit in it and made mud. So I got any volunteers here this morning? Want to come up here for a second? McQuaid. I won't do it, but imagine this. Now, I just want you to imagine this for a second. Here's Jesus, and he didn't have Tupperware and stuff. He just had dirt. Now, I don't know how you guys spit, and maybe you have some big chew in your mouth, you can spit better. I don't know, but when I spit, it's not like just runs out of my mouth. It's not enough to create mud. One spit is not enough to create mud. So can you just imagine for a second that Jesus is literally, here's a blind man who can't see anything. He can just only hear stuff, right? He can only hear, and you just hear everybody saying, Jesus is here. He's here. And you're like, yes, you see it. And you just hear, and you just, you know what I'm saying? Like, and you just hear him like, just going, just, I'm just kidding. He probably didn't do that, but he's literally just going, poof. And he's like rubbing it, going, nah, not enough, poof, you know. And I'm like, it takes a lot of spit to make eyes, to make mud. And then enough to put in some, think about this. He's like spitting and going, poof, poof, poof. And I'm like, I'm just thinking out loud in the storm going, just as much as the Lord had to surrender to God, Jesus had to surrender to the Lord, he probably thinking back in his mind, I trust you, Jesus. Trust you, God. I trust you, Father. I'm going to do this. Dude, the blind man had to surrender too, right? This is crazy. So the Lord literally takes dirt, takes his own saliva, as he has enough, he goes to the blind man, shoves it on his eyes, and then he tells the blind man, I want you to go to the pool of Siloam, which actually means sent, which he sends him along. Go to the pool of Siloam, clean out your eyes, and then you'll see. Okay, two things. Now picture this for a second. A blind man with mud in his eyes, walking towards a pool. Hope somebody's walking them there, because this is just a weird moment, right? Like, this is weird. But here's what I want to tell you. God took something that's unnatural and made it supernatural. For instance, when you go to some natural place, and sometimes girls put mud on their face, and it, right? And it's not really this mud, right? But sometimes you can put mud, and sometimes it does stuff to your skin. I've heard this, I looked this up. Some places in the world actually swallow clay because it's healthy for you. That's just weird. Like, that's just plain weird. But I'm saying to you, natural potting soil like this really has nothing to do with your system. The other thing is this. Jesus' spit is weird in itself. And some people ask me, why do you think Jesus spit? Why do you think he did this method? Well, maybe partly one of the reasons is because he wanted to offend people. Not because he deliberately wanted to offend people, but because the religious people at that time saying, well, he's not going to heal on the Sabbath, is he? He's not going to heal on a special. He's not going to do it this way. And Jesus is like, not only am I going to heal on the Sabbath, I'm going to do it with my own spit. I don't know. Maybe there's a reason. I think the other reason is this. This is my main reason, I think. You know why I think he did it? Because it was unnatural. Because you can't, I think if he used some kind of special oils and he put some oils on a guy's eyes, to this day, we'd be saying, oh, we got to find that oil. It works. Because you would have actually thought that the unnatural or natural thing would have caused the healing. But here's the deal. Nobody around the world is selling Jesus spit. Right? You can't go to some market and say, I want some of the Jesus spit on the counter over there because it helps with my eyesight. Because once it was done, it was done. Because you can't go back and say, the reason that happened is because there's mud in Jesus' spit. Only thing you can say is, the reason that happened is to God be the glory. There's no other reason. There's no other, we can't give anything, we can't give the spit credit, we can't give the pool credit, we can't even give the mud credit. All we can do is give the cross, the Jesus Christ the credit. That's all we can do. Because God took what's unnatural, and so when you think, oh, I am not good at anything, I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't even have this in my notes, but I'm going to tell you, even listening to myself just, you know, laugh underneath my breath and squeak, I'm telling you, when I was a kid, I was in speech therapy, and I was in learning disability class. How many years? I'm like 8 years of my life. If you would have watched me when I was in fifth grade and said, hey, every Sunday morning, you're going to preach, and you're going to preach here, and you're going to speak in front of people here, I'm like, you are kidding. Right? Look at Moses stuttered and he led the people, the slaves out of Egypt. And so many times we think, naturally I can't do this. But that's where we lean upon the Lord to do something supernatural. It's a little crazy. Last point is this. And if you don't believe me, look at this scripture. Jesus said, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Oof. And he says, and they will go and even do greater than these things. Like God is even saying, I believe in you, and you can do these things. Next point is this. After God takes the natural and makes it supernatural, there is healing in obedience. God sent this guy away to the pool called Shalom. He sent him away to be healed. This is what I want you to catch. The question is, what is God asking you to do? That seems a little crazy. Think about that. What is God asking you to do that seems a little crazy? When Jesus put mud on the blind man's eyes, he told him to go wash it off in the pool of Shalom. Jesus could have easily healed the blind man on the spot. But the obedience of the blind man activated the power to do the work. Healing, now listen, healing wasn't in the pool. It wasn't in the water. The healing, when you think about it, was in the obedience. Jesus had to be obedient to his Father, and the blind man had to be obedient to Jesus. You catching this? The healing was in your obedience. It was in that mutual submission to say, even though this seems a little bit crazy, can you imagine the blind man hearing the spits and going, I'm not in this. A little bit too crazy. And Jesus going, all right, let's move on. He had to surrender his own craziness in order, because now, think about this. He came back seeing And then he had a story to tell because he was never able to see the light and his eyes were opened up to see. The healing was in the water. The healing was in obedience. Another way to put it, the healing was not in the method. It was in the obedience. It wasn't in the procedure. It wasn't in the way. You can't remanufacture what Jesus did. I can't. For instance, I had a friend who tried to do it. His name is Wayne, and he's an evangelist, and he felt like the Lord told him to do it, so he literally put mud and spit in a guy's eye. The guy wasn't healed. But I'm just telling you, he still surrendered, and he still did it. And I think the issue here is saying, listen, it may be in our life we need to have a little crazy faith. How does that happen? Maybe, just maybe. We'll just throw some examples out here. Then we're going to have Dan and Brina come up. You know, think about Ruthie. Can I point at you for a second, Ruthie? Is this okay? Maybe Ruthie's at work this week. And as she's at work, she's hearing commotion about some of the co-workers talking about how hard work is. And the Lord speaks, she feels like the Lord speaks to her and says, after work, I want you to call up these ladies and I just want you to pray over them. Just give them an encouraging word. And Ruthie could say, well, I don't know them, really. I don't know them like that. And Jesus says, prompt, let's go do it. You might say, well, that's a little crazy. And I know I do crazy stuff all the time, so that's why, right? I hear stories, so it's good. What I'm saying is, when we respond to what the Lord is saying, even though it seems a little bit crazy, when my parents, when we decided to do a church plan, and we kind of threw it out in the other saying, hey, if you guys want to come with, I'd love to have you guys. And they sold their dream house, and they sold their house, and they moved to Stillwater. That's a little crazy. When our team, Dan and Brianna, were part of something else, and they just surrendered their will, and they came to Stillwater, that's a little crazy. When you go to work, listen, I tell a story about Stacy all the time. She got offered other things that we couldn't offer her, but she came to Stillwater because of the vision and the mission and you guys, that's a little crazy. When you pray for people and you surrender and you write a note for somebody and you put verses in it and you're like, I don't know about this person, or you send an instant message to somebody, maybe you send a text message to somebody this week saying, you've been on my heart this week, I don't know. I just want you to know that God loves you. I just want you to know that you might feel like you're in the midst of a storm, but God is with you. And even though you don't believe in him, he believes in you. He trusts you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be by your side. He's created you for purpose and on a purpose. He's impassionately in love with you. You are a little crazy, but I'm telling you, the people in your life need you to be a little crazy in your faith. Are you hearing me this morning? We need to be a little crazy. It's interesting because one step of obedience can open your eyes, but one step of obedience can open somebody else's eyes. One step of obedience can reverse a curse, and one step of obedience can bring a blessing. One step of obedience can begin a new chapter of life, and another step of obedience can bring new life. Because not only did he go to the pool, he came back seen and telling everybody, listen, this guy was crazy. But what's more crazy is I can see. And what's more crazy is my heart's opened and there's a new life and I can see that he is the light of the world. That's crazy. Everybody stand up this morning. Here's my challenge. This is a question I have for you and I want this to be asked in life groups and everything. How has God asked you to be a little crazy? Number one, and how have you not responded when God has asked you to be a little crazy? Now, I'm not asking for fruits and flakes and nuts and all that kind of stuff. But I am asking for you on Monday through Friday and through the week, what can we do? If we put our insecurities aside, think about that, and we reach down, I'm telling you, here's what's cool about this. God can take something that's unnatural and make it supernatural. And your conversations and your appointments, if you listen to what people are saying, but you also listen to what the Lord is saying to you. And you're open and saying, God, what do you want me to do even after church today? And maybe here's the deal. I'll be honest with you. Maybe God is saying to you, I want you to forgive this person. You're like, whoa, that's crazy. You don't understand. They've been hurting me for years. You've been hurting everybody else, and I don't want them part of my life at all. That's really crazy. Jesus says, listen, you won't be free until you free them from your unforgiveness. That's crazy. Maybe it's you calling up someone and saying, I'm sorry. You may be thinking, well, I didn't do anything wrong. My answer is neither did Jesus. He still forgave. So maybe it's forgiveness. Maybe for you, it's just stepping out in faith. Maybe for you, it's helping somebody do something in their house. Maybe it's for you, it's giving an encouraging word. Maybe for you, it's praying with somebody. I'm telling you, I know this sounds crazy, but I've never had anybody in my life I ever asked, hey, can I pray with you? Say no to me. Isn't that crazy? I don't think I've ever had anybody say that, me even randomly, hey, can I pray with you? And they say, no, I don't. They're just, okay. It's awesome. I know it seems crazy, but listen, I would love to have a church that obeys the crazy. Not that he's crazy, but he obeys us even when it seems crazy. That we trust the Lord. And how do we do this? You just got to be open and listen to the Lord in your life. For you, you might be here this morning and you're saying, Jarvis, I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't even have a relationship with the Lord. You might be thinking, just surrendering to the Lord sounds crazy enough. That is crazy. But not doing it is even crazier. I just want us to find ways to honor, to obey the Lord and to step out. Is that making sense? Not just on Sundays, but on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays, that we become the church. We become the church that God has called us to be. Everybody bow your heads, close your eyes. No one's looking around. And if you're here this morning and you're just saying, hey, Jarvis, I need to begin a relationship with Jesus. I hear what you're saying. And I may not be physically blind, but my heart is spiritually blind. And I want to see Jesus. And I want to see Jesus. If that's you this morning, I'm looking around. I just want you to raise your hand. Nobody else is looking around. Don't be afraid. See that. It's awesome. Awesome. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, Lord, open up my heart. Forgive me my sins. Holy Spirit, have your way. Help me to surrender to you. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look up here. Who is willing to say with me, I'm ready to be a little bit crazy for the Lord? Raise your hand. Because I'm telling you, this casual Christian thing is a little boring. Right? And I'm not trying to push you over the edge saying, you got to be really crazy. Go pray. I'm not preaching that you stand in the corner as you start preaching, and I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this. Whatever the Lord speaks to you. And people say all the time, well, how do you know it's the Lord? It could be me, or it could be Satan telling me something new. How do you know it's the Lord? Well, number one, if it's edifying and pleasing, just go with it. If you feel like you're supposed to pray with somebody, that's not evil. Just walk with it. How easy is that, right? If it's something that's edifying to somebody else, I'm pretty sure, you know what I'm saying? Just follow that. So I'm just saying for you, let's just worship this morning. Let's just begin to read scripture and let God speak to us, because I'm telling you, there's more in you and God is greater in you than in the world. There's more. God wants to do more. As he builds you up, he sends you out. Builds you up, sends you out, because that pressure increases. And I'm telling you, God wants to open our eyes and our hearts to receive more that he has for us. And just to step out. So let's just worship this morning. And I just want you to notice, you can do it. You got it. We, as a church, we can do it. We can, you know what I'm saying? We can do it. We can step out. So let's just worship this morning and surrender. Amen?